Welcome in to Rover Sports. We are here on a Tuesday night, and we're going to have the whole crew here, and we are here at WWDBAM.com, as well as 97.5 HD2, and for certain people, we will be on Facebook Live. But most importantly, it's a Football Tuesday. We have Colin Newby behind the glass, Spencer G, and we want to start off by, I want to hear your take while I get the video together. You're going to have to take over. What happened with those Philadelphia Eagles? Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, what ended up happening is, you know, really Howie Roseman has done a spectacular job of turning this team from a four-win team to what looks like to be a team that's poised to win a division championship at a record that is higher than just your 9-7. I mean, when the Eagles won the division several years ago, it's because the Cowboys, the Redskins, and the Giants were all terrible teams. But it looks like this Eagles team is contending right now amongst the NFC's best. And I don't know if I could have expected all of that. This team was like a fringe playoff team. They had a young quarterback that was very young, and I wasn't sure that he was going to hit his peak. But really, this offense is hitting their peak. Devontae Smith is playing his best football of his NFL career, had 162 receiving yards. The offensive line is giving Jalen Hurts a lot of time to throw the ball. And A.J. Brown, this offensive staff with Shane Steichen is really aggressive. Jonathan Gannon, the defensive coordinator, is doing an unbelievable job. I mean, this team has given up 15 points over eight quarters of play. And that is just an absurd... That is an absurd thing. When you look at the National Football League, these are all paid professionals. I don't think that we have really had a defense in this town that has given up 7 points, that has given up 15 points, holding teams to under 10 points in two consecutive games. I think you'd have to go back to Jim Johnson and the great defenses of the mid-2000s with Troy Vincent, Bobby Taylor, and all those guys. And we'll see if the Facebook feed is accurate. So far, it looks like we're back on. But I can't remember. First off, when you give up 8 points, you're going to win. Even if your offense is terrible, you give up 8 points in the NFL and you're going to win. And so this defense has done an amazing job. I mean, you look at the guys that the Washington Redskins and have at receiver. They have Terry McLaurin, who's an absolute stud at receiver. You have Curtis Samuel. I mean, Washington, this team, the Redskins, they put up big numbers against Jacksonville in week one. Against Detroit, Carson Wentz allocated for 28 points. He was feeling good coming into this game. You look at the weapons of Minnesota, Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, the best receiver in the league, and the Eagles defense shut them down. So it's this defense. It's this defense that Howie Roseman has put together. It's really the defense. It's Jonathan Gannon, who looks like the best defensive coordinator this town has had in over a decade. I mean, what he's doing schematically is just otherworldly impressive. I mean, he's taking guys like Hassan Reddick, who's never played in this system before. Darius Slay is playing his best ball. The team's staying healthy. The continuity. Sirianni's doing a nice job with this team. And I just look at the Eagles right now, and they're blowing teams out in the NFL. This isn't college. These games are over before you can blink. Second halves are boring. Second halves, you can go and you know, get ice cream and not watch football because the games are already over in the second half of these games. So it's just total domination, perfection by the Philadelphia Eagles. That's what's happening. I can't be more impressed by this football team right now, Bruce. I just can't.
Well, I don't want to say pump the brakes, but again, you can only play what's in front of you. But knowing the league, this it's a very long season. And looking at, they played each team kind of at their worst. Obviously, Minnesota's got a good start. And I believe they had a very poor game here. Kirk Cousins just had an off game. part of that you could say is relating to defense, but a big part is that they were just off. And looking at Washington, they might just be a terrible team. Carson Wentz got sacked 9 times, and they just looked out of kilter. So, you know, looking at the 3 teams that they played and coming up with Jacksonville, we're going to be doing, I think, almost very shortly, a Jacksonville Jags preview. Most people listening to this on WWDBAM.com or, of course, on 97.5, probably haven't seen a lot of Jacksonville Jags. I know Jerry Hardikin has seen plenty of them, but the fact is they're coming. The Eagles have a home game. So far, the schedule's been set up perfectly for them, and they haven't been tested at all. And the first real test I see will be away in Arizona in 2 weeks, and perhaps you think differently. So this is as good a time as any. Tell us about the Jaguars. Tell us about Doug Peterson. I know Dr. Steve Lewis is busy saving lives, and he's on location. He's going to be calling in, and we're going to be boosting him into the show. But until that time, I want your opinion of the Jags, because the Rovers out there want to know what's up with this team.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to go back and, like, you know, talk about your initial points. I think that the Eagles are playing who's on their schedule. You could say that the Chiefs had a great break. I mean, they played the 0-2 Colts, a team that's looked awful so far. Look at what happened with the Indianapolis Colts. They beat the Chiefs. So this is the NFL. Every team, even the worst teams in this league, they all have great players. There's very little separation between these football teams. But I look at the Jaguars, and I'm very surprised what's going on. I haven't been a fan of... Historically, this franchise, ever since it's been created, which is what, like yesterday, 2005, it's an expansion franchise. They don't have a lot of funding in that stadium. They don't have a lot of funding in general with Sashi Khan. They're historical losers. They've picked number one in 2 consecutive years. They've been the worst team in the NFL. They are the cellar dwellers of football. I mean, ever since Tom Coughlin was there when I was 5 years old, that's the last time that team has really been relevant. They had one good year with Blake Bortles and Jalen Ramsey a couple of years ago. But I'm very surprised that Trevor Lawrence has really taken over this year and has played very well. They went out to the Chargers, who have a really talented team. Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, Justin Herbert. The Chargers were my Super Bowl pick this year to win this whole Super Bowl, and they killed the Chargers, Josh. So Jacksonville seems to be doing a lot of things right, and I'm really surprised that Doug Peterson is getting this thing righted out.
Well, I have to be honest with you, Spencer. I think it's great that Doug Peterson actually shows that he can actually coach. You know, he put his own staff together down there, and you know, they're off to a great start. You know, Trevor Lawrence looks a heck of a lot better, and as a quarterback this year. You know, Travis Etienne is playing well. Their defense is playing solid. It's been fun. And you know what? I got to be honest with you, I'm happy for Doug Peterson, Doc, because you know what? He got a bad rap out of here. He really did. He was forced out. Let's be honest. Howie Roseman, for as great as he is right now, for 3-0, you know, he put Doug Peterson in a bad position. And a guy that won a Super Bowl and actually has a statue outside the stadium, which is really interesting, for him to have the success in Jacksonville, I'm really happy for Doug. I'm really happy for him. He's a good guy.
I do too. And again, there was just a lot of confusion about his departure. And some of that, I think, allegedly had to do with Carson Wentz. Carson was just unhappy with drafting Jalen Hurts. I think he became unhappy with Peterson. I think their relationship basically fell apart. Wentz wasn't answering any calls. If you remember that summer,
oh yeah,
he just basically checked out, and he didn't answer the calls. And then Peterson was just in a very dysfunctional, awkward situation. And I thought that, and again, I bet his relationship with Howie Roseman at the front, it couldn't have been great, but he did get forced out. And he's a really good guy. And if you ask me right now, would I rather have Doug Peterson as the CEO of this franchise with Shane Steichen calling the plays, or would I rather have Nick Sirianni as the CEO? I'd much rather have Doug Peterson, because he's a more mature guy. He actually played in the league. And one thing about this team, which I resent, is because I'm a union guy, right? All these players are union guys. the fact that this Eagles team basically boycotted all the veterans, all the guys that played, and brought in all these academic people like Sirianni, like Gannon, like Steichen, and there's no guys that actually played in the league. So I remember Peterson was here. In fact, he was the placeholder for Donovan McNabb. I really like him. He's a Super Bowl coach. He's got a ton of charisma. So listen, you can't complain. We're not here saying that Nick Sirianni's bad. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. So far, he's 3-0 against bad teams. Again, we have another home game coming up, but it's going to be interesting. I, for one, when Doug Peterson comes here, I'm going to give him a standing ovation. So I guess the question is going around the panel, Spence, what kind of ovation is Peterson going to get here?
Well, I don't think that Doug Peterson, other than that Super Bowl year, he was a 9-win coach. He's 9-7, 8-8. I mean, even the year they went to New Orleans, they had to have the Minnesota Vikings completely melt down against Chicago for the Eagles to even get the opportunity to go to Chicago. And then, woohoo, the team beat Mitchell Trubisky. So he's had, other than that Super Bowl year, he didn't win any other playoff games. And the team was getting worse under Doug Peterson, Josh. What did he go in his last year? He went 4-12. He was a disaster in that COVID year. Now, you could point to it being a COVID year. Did you really think, Josh, that the Philadelphia Eagles were progressing in an upward manner with Doug Peterson?
Spencer, I think he was handcuffed. I really do. I think the front office really handcuffed Doug Peterson, to the T. I think they didn't help Doug Peterson out. I think they were ready for Doug. I think Doug was probably, we don't know this, but I think he was making some noise internally. He wasn't, let's not forget this. He wasn't allowed to pick his offensive coordinator. He wanted to promote Carson Welch, okay? He wanted to do other things with that staff. And the boys came in and they were like, no, you can't do this. Throughout the entire, the success of the Eagles, which I really believe has a lot to do with the players, but the front office, no one's bigger in the city than the front office of the Philadelphia Eagles. It's not the players. It's not the coach. It's Howie Roseman, because he likes to play the card, okay? Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't like you and you get on his side, guess what?
You're gone.
You got the year of Jeffrey Lurie. And he's got the year of Jeffrey Lurie. And everyone can talk about how great of a GM he is and a whirlwind and everything else. Hey, okay, he's done something right. He's been here 15, 16 years. He's had a lot of time. He has a lot of lives, okay? We all wanted him gone in the spring. Let's not forget this. We all wanted him gone. And I wanted him gone. I wanted him gone just as bad as I wanted Ben Simmons gone. But he's, you know, I think, first of all, Doug, the ovation that Doug Peterson deserves in Philadelphia when he arrives on Sunday, okay, should be massive. The entire city should tip their cap to Doug Peterson, because he handled the Philadelphia. He's Philadelphia. He's a part of Philadelphia history. And he's always conducted himself in the right way. He wasn't a weasel like Wentz. He wasn't a weasel like Ben Simmons. By the way, that should be another thing we should discuss on with Ben Simmons' comments. But Doc, he was cordial. He embraced the Philadelphia fans, and he deserves the respect.
Yeah, I totally believe that. And some things that you touched upon we can remember is that they chose the coaches for him. They wouldn't let. I think DeFilippo was forced out,
yep.
And he basically had no say. So when you have a guy who's a Super Bowl winning coach and he gets treated like a chooch completely, and you know guys that aren't football guys, you know, basically forced him out. I think in certain ways it's a power thing.
Right.
So I think that this ownership group with Lurie and Roseman, I think that. Chip Kelly was like the antithesis. Basically, Chip Kelly forced Roseman into a locker room and made him hand out jockstraps.
Well, you don't know that.
Yeah, you do.
Well, yeah, you do. It's factual. That's what he was. He's the equipment guy. Yep. And so that's a fact. So I think Roseman and Lurie basically positioned Roseman. So the point is, nobody could basically pull rank on him ever. So that's why they brought in Sirianni. They brought a young guy who was just happy to have a job, who they had total control over, who they could fire at any moment. If he looks at you sideways, they could fire him. And we see that. We see that in the world. There's a lot of control, you know. And I personally like independence. And the thing about Peterson, he's a man of conviction. And when he left, he could have easily aired his dirty laundry. All the stuff that we know about, all the stuff that was reported in The Athletic, he could have said, but he was a gentleman.
Yep.
He left with his tail between his legs like a gentleman and waited. And he knew he would be off for a year, right? I think he was off for a year.
He was, Doc.
And then he came back, and he knew he'd be a commodity. And he was able to choose his spot. He likes Jacksonville. He likes the town.
Yeah.
And I think he's a good fit for a small town, a media that I don't think is aggressive or anything like Philly or New York.
Right.
And I think it was a good fit for him, and I think he's happy. Go ahead.
It's very interesting you point that out. I honestly didn't think about Roseman and Peterson until really Coach brought that up, that Doug didn't really have the independence and freedom. And now you're seeing Doug Peterson with the freedom to call his own plays. You're seeing how creative he can be, because the Seahawks, remember, Josh, like, it looked like the Eagles only had four plays. And that was because, Josh, that was because Howie Roseman only told Doug Peterson, hey, you can run these specific plays. I'm not even sure who Doug Peterson wanted at quarterback. So it seems like what you're saying, you make a very poignant argument about the way that Doug Peterson was mistreated here. Unfortunately, Howie Roseman and these guys that are these overlords of the Eagles, they are still going to never face the music, because they happen to be very intelligent and they happen to be bossing the NFL around right now. The Eagles are the best team right now in the NFC. They're one of the few undefeated teams. So Howie Roseman, as unlikable as he may be, he's still going to win, and the city still just cares about winning. So it's very interesting with Doug Peterson coming back. I expect a big ovation, because he delivered a championship to the city, and he still competed, and that team was injured a couple of years. I did think that they were regressing, but it really was this front office. And I guess we can go back to Chip Kelly, and everybody thinks that Chip's the villain all the time, but maybe there's more to the story if Doug Peterson was really treated like the villain by this front office. But the thing is, the Eagles are rolling. Everybody's all honky-dory, and that's just the way it is. You don't have to be likable. You have to win and not get in trouble off the field, and that's what the Eagles are doing.
Well, just look at the Eagles game, because obviously Coach Tate is here, and Dr. Lewis will be calling in, and it's great to have Colin doing such a beautiful job, you know, with the sound and the and everything here. The lighting is really good in the studio, and got to give a tip of the hat to Colin for that. Basically, looking at the Eagles game and watching it, I was able to watch the game on my iPad, and we attended the Bills-Dolphins game. So we were in Miami for that game, and that was fun. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. But my take on the game, and I want to hear everybody's take, is that the Eagles' offense is firing on all cylinders, right? Devontae Smith, after an 0-for in game one, really had a coming out party. Reminded me of Alabama Grim Reaper, either one. The fact is, he made some acrobatic circus catches. He caught, I think it was 169 total yards receiving. And at the same time, A.J. Brown was a stalwart, caught a 50-50 ball for a touchdown. And Jalen Hurts, again, no turnovers, threw for over 300 yards, quarterback rating over 130. And at this point, I listen to a lot of sports radio, and I talk to a lot of hosts around town who we all know. And basically, I think the dissenters have been quieted by Jalen Hurts. He's proven his worth, at least in three games. And looking at the defense, they basically only rushed four, Spencer. They did not have to blitz Carson Wentz. They have a terrible offensive line. Wentz was absolutely terrible. He held the ball too long. He had a loopy throw. He threw everything sidearm, and he was absolutely terrible. So it'll be interesting to see. And again, when we talk about Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence is a guy with a very quick release. And that's been the story of his first three games. And you might have to blitz him, because if you just rush four, Lawrence might have the time to sit back and pick apart the Eagles defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to learn a lot about Jacksonville in this game. I mean, how are they going to handle success? How are they going to handle going from the West Coast and then they have to go all the way up to the Northeast? I mean, that's a lot of miles that they're traveling. And this Jacksonville team, I told you, they're still Jacksonville. You know, they lost to Washington the first week. Is this Jacksonville team, are they different? Is this the same old Jags that are going to, you know, lose by a lot to the Eagles and not handle success the right way? Or are they really going to put out a good product and have a competitive game? And and that's a question that I really have, is how is Lawrence going to play against this defense?
Spencer, I think Doug Peterson's second Super Bowl. I think he wants to win this game that bad. I think this team will be ready to play. I really do. I have no doubt in my mind that he's coming in here, and nothing would make him happier than to ruin a perfect season for the Eagles in Philadelphia and look up in that box and have some choice words to say to his former boss and owner, you know?
Right.
So there's really revenge on the mind.
Oh, wow.
And again, we thought there'd be revenge, you know, going to see Carson Wentz. And there's a lot of people who attended that game. Al Zafiri, our fearless producer back in at Ridley Park, and my office manager, he went with, was it 120 people? Or there must be a zero in the end. Was there 1,200?
Yeah. What do you mean, for Washington?
No, he went with a bit, I think 120.
Yeah, yeah.
So there were thousands of Eagles fans at FedEx Field, and it was really loud. And they saw a great show, and they were able to really rattle Carson Wentz like it was a home game. I don't think that, obviously, Trevor Lawrence, I don't think he's played. He hasn't come to the link yet.
No,
he hasn't. I think that is a daunting situation. This is a very loud fan base. They're going to be very raucous. Coming in undefeated, leading the NFC East, and the weather's going to be nice. Well, even if it wasn't, it wouldn't matter at all. It's going to be crazy, Josh. What do you think about the atmosphere coming in here?
Listen, your team's 3-0, okay? You're playing against Doug Peterson. You're coming off a huge win down in Washington. The fan base is always nuts in Philadelphia. And when you're 3-0 and expectations continue to rise with each week, I think it's going to be nuts. I think it's going to be loud, but here's the deal. I also think Doug Peterson knows that, and he's going to have his team ready for the noise. He's going to have his team. Doug, if you are a scout and if you've coached and you know who your biggest rival is, you are going to be doing pounding this in every day, okay, for your team. So there's nothing that you haven't already seen that they don't already know about. Yes, we're a young team. Yes, no one expects anything from me. He's going to play that underdog card with his own team to get them that fired up. You know, no one respects you. It's the line 6.5.
You're absolutely right. The Chargers, I mean, we could look. The Chargers also were very hurt in the game against Doug. So this is Jacksonville Jags, okay? And I'll admit, I didn't think that Doug Peterson would be this successful so far in Jacksonville, because it's the stepchild of the league. It's Jacksonville. And you're playing the Eagles, and Doug, you're right. He's going to look up and see Roseman. He's going to see Lori smiling. He's going to look on the other sideline and see Nick Sirianni, who's getting all this praise and Coach of the Year praise. And yeah, exactly right. He is going to be motivated. Now, the key is for his players is, will Jalen Hurts have any pocket adversity? Because he hasn't even gotten hit in his first two games from the pocket. That pocket's been really clean. Can Jacksonville muddy that pocket? That's going to be a huge key in the game. And then you know what's a quarterback's best friend is a running game. You saw last night Cooper Rush, the Cowboys were able to run the football. Jacksonville has to be able to run the football if they're going to have a chance in this game against Philadelphia.
Sure, they could. They could likely do that. I mean, let's be honest. The Eagles played against the Wentz. He got, sacked 9 times? And you heard Ron Rivera's press conference. He was like, yeah, he could have done a lot better. It was very disappointing. I think so.
Rivera's a pretty honest guy. He's a Philly guy, too.
Wentz said, but what about, like, even Dalvin Cook is a really good running back. They didn't even run him at all. They're scared of this Eagles front line. Well, you have Jordan Davis, Fletcher Cox, Hassan Reddick. This D-line is really good.
Well, Spencer, you know what? I think what's really helped the Eagles out, we haven't really touched on it, is how good the secondary has been. Like, they're really locking down some of the best corners.
It's a little bit of a surprise. Yeah. And again, TJ Edwards has been great. I mean, he's been all pro level. He's led the team in tackles for every game. He's everywhere, making great reads. He's the most improved player on the defense. Slay is a very good player, an all pro player. And Bradbury, their acquisitions. Kazir White is a guy who's a linebacker who really plays like a safety. And I guess a question I have, because I haven't seen the Jags play. I haven't seen a second of them.
Yeah.
Could you give us any preview about their defense? What's the rap on their defense?
They're very young. But they have like Josh Allen, who's from Kentucky, the other Josh Allen.
Yeah, they're aggressive. They play hard. They play they swarm the ball, Doc. You know, they're gonna gang tackle.
Yeah, but also they have like Chase on, I believe, from LSU. Henderson maybe is a corner.
So they've got athletic guys.
Yeah,
athletic guys, and they spend a lot of money. And absolutely, I think that they're a pretty solid defense. I would say like maybe they're top 15 in the NFL, but they're young and they've played great. I mean, again. Against the Colts, they shut down Matt Ryan. They went to play Justin Herbert. They played really well. So this Eagles team, I mean, the one thing I'll say about the secondary is when your front four gets pressure, you don't have to have a good secondary. I mean, that's how the Giants won the Super Bowl with shaky secondary play. Secondary play, it all comes down to your D-line. When your D-line gets pressure, then you get interceptions. And Kirk Cousins was, I guess he was under some pressure. Maybe the secondary was better that night. But you're right, Darius Slay, everybody's upping their level. I really think, Bruce, this start is, you know why they're starting so well? I think the leadership is really good with these players. I think Jalen Hurts is really taking a leadership role. I think that AJ is coming in, Josh. I think the leaders on offense of this team are really good offensively, defensively.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you, Spencer. I think, you know what, I also think there's a lot of pressure.
We're going to be bringing in, and he's on air, our MVP. Doctor Steve Lewis, how are you doing tonight, Doc?
Good. I love the show. I just want to say I'm your biggest fan and the best in the business, no doubt.
Well, it's great to have you here and a lot to talk about. And so I want to circulate some of the topics that we've had so far. Great to have you on. And I know Dr. Lewis is an incredible doctor and he's really the hub of Albert Einstein, which is a whole division. And tonight he got called in to... for some patient care and dutifully went in, but I'm so glad you have a moment or hopefully some minutes to talk. And I guess the question is, can you foresee the reception for Doug Peterson when he comes here? Do you feel confident about it, or do you feel there might be some people out there who may not cheer him or be quiet? We've all kind of weighed in. You've heard it. What are your thoughts?
I can't imagine that Doug Peterson ever buys a beer or any cheesesteak in this town ever. Nothing but cheers and love for Doug Peterson. Anything short of that would be a major disappointment. I'd be shocked.
Yeah, I think we all, I guess it's a consensus opinion. And Josh touched upon really good chronology about that one off season and really how Peterson was stifled with choosing his own coaching staff. The whole thing with Wentz, who really didn't favor him, and there was a time when the team held out hope that Wentz would come back to them, just like the Sixers had hope that Simmons would come back. They flew their whole team out to L.A. So there's definitely a parallel between the departure of Wentz and Doug Simmons. I mean, I guess that's really good. And Doug Simmons. Well, I think that's a great malaprop, I must say.
Doug Simmons.
Carson Simmons.
And Carson
Peterson.
They're
really the same guy. They're really morphed. They were in a movie called The Fly, where both of their brains got transposed, and so did their names. But
Ben Wentz.
So the fact is there's just a lot of parallels between those two guys. And Doug Peterson was a gentleman. He had plenty of opportunity to really tell the media what was going on. Roseman forced him out. And the whole thing was, was really a lot of drama behind the scenes. And that actually brings us up to our next topic, which talking about drama behind the scenes, we are Rovers, and I know you're going to love this. We're going to roll right into Mr. Ime Udoka just got fired and suspended for a season. And... that came as a surprise.
He got suspended for the year. He didn't get fired yet.
He got suspended for the season. That's what I said. And the fact is, none of his players had any inkling about what went down there. And just to talk about it, we don't really know the story, but I think it's a hot topic. What did you... So, Dr. Lewis, were you surprised or taken aback by that? And what effect will it have on the dreaded Boston Celtics in their chance of going back to the NBA Finals?
Well, clearly he's an elite coach. I mean, he turned the team around in his first year. He's a former Sixers coach. turned the team around after really starting out very slow and just was very impressive. So I think it will have an impact. We don't, as you said, Doc, we don't have any inkling as to the details of the story, and I think it's incumbent upon the Celtics. I don't think it's incumbent upon the Celtics. I'm not sure what they're going to talk about as to why, but there's just a bunch of rumors out there, and clearly when you're a boss of anything, when you have someone that works for you, you engage with the word consensual really comes into play, because the other person may say, I consent it because you're my boss and I was afraid for my job. So there's reason these rules exist. They're in the contracts, as far as having any relationships with anybody. It could be determined as an abuse of power. So I think the Celtics, it's in their contract. I think the Celtics, from what we know, did what they had to do. And for anybody to weigh in on this without the facts, it wouldn't be right.
Yeah, I guess that's a very tempered answer. And I would say the same thing, that obviously this is contractual. I'll make a baseball analogy. Betting in sports, this country has turned into a betting nation. I think we're the only show in America, including some shows that are just not even in English, that we don't have a betting sponsor. So the fact is, but it's in the rules, that Pete Rose violated the rules of baseball. It was a written rule. The number one rule, the first commandment, is you can't bet on baseball. So there are places in different workplaces where people meet their spouse. 70% of people meet their spouse at the workplace. Now, I heard that. I thought it was a little high, but we do know it. We know doctors have met nurses. We know people who work in businesses. You work for Johnson & Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them have tight contractual things. But you know what? A lot of times you spend most of your time at the workplace, and this is a different scenario where you can meet somebody. I guess in retrospect, Udoka, if there was a relationship where two people really liked each other, or they wanted to date, that would be a true dilemma situation. I guess that he could have approached ownership and said, "Look, the situation's here. We haven't dated yet. We care about each other. Does one of us have to quit the team?" Mm-hmm. You know, if they handled it that way, Steve, that would be a very mature way to, and maybe the person would have, you know, let's assume Udoka, he's not married, he's dating somebody, and so that's a gray area situation. But if there is a relationship, he could have, I guess, by keeping it secret and having it blow up, the worst case scenario where the ownership met and they thought, how do we handle this? Somebody who's the leader, this is unprecedented. Spencer, Bruce, I can't think of a similar parallel. Go ahead.
Well, Josh, I know you want it. Go ahead, Josh. I know you want
it. Go ahead, Josh, and then we'll roll it back to Spencer. Well,
Doc,
go ahead.
Doc, the reason why it's uncomfortable is because guess what? First of all, as we know, the woman's name has not come out. So they feel as if it's all these women in the organization are being looked at and saying, is it her? Is it her? It's an uncomfortable situation for everybody. It really is. And
it truly is a great mystery.
And it's like,
or bad mystery.
Yeah. And
good or bad.
And that's where people, you know, and then we live in an environment where, yes, it was two people that were consensual. And, you know, I had seen something that was reported that her boyfriend, okay, hired a private investigator and was following these people, following Udoka and her on multiple times, and wanted to release this, all the photos, okay. He went to the Celtics, and this is what the Celtics were like.
So they had to sit on this powder keg.
Yeah.
So in other words, you're in the yes. green room. You're Churchill in the bunker.
Yeah.
And you had to decide what to do.
Yeah.
And I'm fairly certain that the Celtics met.
Oh yeah.
And Brad Stevens, I think, is a temperate guy, and a smart guy, a guy we respect, and I think that They had to do something as drastic as suspended for the season to not have it blow up, to not have it embarrass the lady who's involved here, and not embarrass the franchise. So I think their hand was forced. Spencer,
well, Bruce,
go ahead, and
well,
I'm going to work back to Dr. Lois. Go ahead, Spencer.
So if that situation was true, this hypothetical that the boyfriend was, you know, taking pictures and sending this to the Celtics, what could the Celtics just continued to not punish both parties, or did they have to take action when the boyfriend was, the boyfriend ever sent pictures? Could the Celtics have allowed this to be a working relationship and they would end up getting married?
No. Well,
so Josh is going to weigh that. I would hear Dr. Lewis weigh it. Go ahead,
there's
Josh.
There's so many guidelines, especially in schools and organizations. Like, primetime example, Upper Dublin had a ninth grade girls basketball position open last year. And one of the coach's wives, who's a football coach, has been dating, married 30 years, all three kids are going through the school, could not even come, even though she was a Division II basketball player.
Is that the rules? Is that the hierarky? That was the rules, the understanding of the organization. Yeah. So, Josh Chase, you're the best person. You've coached college basketball, you've coached other sports, and now high school basketball.
Yeah.
So you understand, and you're probably the best person to understand in the confines of the sports environment and the structure. And what you're suggesting is the Celtics really had no choice. They had to do something that's very drastic to, onset of the inception of a season, who's arguably the best coach in the league, and who everybody loved, all the players to a man loved. In fact, they came out with their media day, Marcus Smart, they all came out, Jaylen Brown, they expressed their honest shock. They had no idea what happened. They were blindsided. It's not like a situation where, I guess, we look at the owner of the Phoenix Suns. I think that was a very poorly kept secret. Donald Sterling. Everybody could wink at each other. And Jerry Buss, I mean, if you saw that, that was wide in the open. And so this thing was really tough. Dr. Lewis, no, he's not here, so it's harder to. I'm going to have to call him by name, and everybody's going to get their turn. Go ahead, Steve.
I think everybody's saying some unbelievably great things. It's all very relevant. I mean, the reality of the situation, as you said, Bruce, is that this guy was widely liked, widely respected as a great coach and person, top to bottom. This is an unbelievable suspension. This is an unbelievable punishment. This isn't a week or a month or a pending review or anything. They suspended him for a year. And for the season, and they did it because obviously there's things that are going to potentially come out. The bottom line is, this isn't, you can talk about consensual relationships among equals, but there's a hierarchy, and he is a boss. And in the age of Matt Lauer's and Charlie Rose's and Harvey Weinstein's, this is labor laws you have to deal with. It's an abuse of power, potentially, allegedly. We don't know the facts, but this is an underling of his, and he could have thought it was consensual. She could have said it's consensual, but at the end of the day, you know, she's probably saying to her boyfriend, she could say, hey, he's my boss. I had to do what I had to do to keep my job. That's why these rules exist. So, and you listen to somebody like Matt Barnes, who claims he has some inside information, that he retracted his initial statement of saying that this was unfair, unjust, to the point where he said it not only was it just, wait till this comes out, it's going to blow everyone's mind. And he's not going to be the one to tell the story. It leaves for quite a bit of drama to unfold.
There's so much drama with the girl, the things that are honestly private, like what's her relationship with Udoka. There's a lot of motives that could be at play in so many different directions. It would be inappropriate to speculate on the motivations of both parties. I mean, from the outsider's point of view, it's obvious you're at work and you shouldn't be doing you shouldn't be engaging in this. But as all of us have experienced with relationships and love, I mean, it's just oftentimes it doesn't make sense. And maybe that's what Udoka was feeling in this instance. And it's a really sad story for this guy. And in a year, I still think he absolutely has the talent to still be a coach. If it's not in Boston, I still think he's going to get a lot of interest in this league because of his talent as a coach.
Yeah, I think this is it's a big story with Udoka. And the fact is that there's also a lot of money. These are billion-dollar franchises, all right? And there's a lot of liability in there. And these days, you look at what happened with Watson. I mean, that's just an example of a current event. What happened with Watson, the Houston Texans had to pay a boatload of money to each one of these girls. And it was right, and they had to do it. And right now, Boston, they've done an incredible job. Let's face it, Tia, how many paparazzis are poking around the story? How about everybody? TMZ, you would think it's just unbelievable that nobody knows. Not only they don't know the girl's name, but they don't even know what department. You know, an NBA franchise is a big department, so they've actually kept her confidentiality, and that's one reason that they are not. That I don't think there's an action. They have liability because it came to them. I think it surprised them. It surprised the Celtics. Brad Stevens was transparent. They met and they acted in the best way to protect a woman, to protect a franchise, and to exert what I think the maximum penalty would be, firing the coach. But they did not say, they actually said, we don't know what we're going to do. They still reserve the right to fire him. And they're probably taking the temperature of everybody. They're talking to the league, the commissioner. They're talking to the other owners. And they're also getting feedback from the fans. And if the fans are, let's say the fans basically say they're offended by his actions and they feel like the ball's rolling downhill, what happens? He'll be fired. How many times have we seen it in the last 5 years? And so, and he might be fired and maybe not. And the question, the rumors are that he decided to end off the relationship and that she was a jilted lover and that she turned in Udoka. That the other rumor that was just postulated was the boyfriend found out about it and he basically busted the situation. And so it's a very salacious situation. And because you've got like Udoka, who actually coached here for a year, was an assistant coach, and I think one of the just inside the ropes definitely was a great coach. He had the respect of the team. He's a guy, if we were to put that aside, would I want to have him here for the Sixers instead of Glenn Rivers? Not even a question. I would take him in a New York minute, but it's just a matter that this is a newsworthy situation, and everybody on this panel has been able to weigh in on this situation, which I think merits discussion. We're not passing judgment. Like you say, Dr. Lewis, we don't have enough facts to really pass judgment. But as far as discussing it as a newsworthy issue for Rover Sports, there's no question it is. And we're going to go right into the break, and we'll be back with our fearless picks.
Somewhere around 400 feet off the ground, RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. When I first got out, I felt like my whole life had been smushed down to just medical appointments. I was going to occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. I'm not sure I would still be here if I didn't find the Friends and Wounded Warrior Project that I did. Because there was a long period after the injury where I really didn't understand why I was still here. I felt like I had lost everything. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
When a child is diagnosed with cancer, the last thing parents should have to worry about is how to pay for it. This is a St. Jude moment.
Imani wouldn't be here if it wasn't for St. Jude, and I can't imagine a better place to be.
You know, it's a cliche thing to say, but I feel like my faith in humanity has been restored. The second we arrived here, we had food, housing, transportation, treatment, you name it, it was taken care of by St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. There was not a single other care in the world except for Imani, because St. Jude made that happen. The best way I can really describe it is this is heaven on earth. To the people who donate to St. Jude, you know, I just want them to know that I don't think anyone in this world or anything in this world has given me a greater gift. We came as two desperate parents, and they saved our daughter's life.
Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
Life, Dr. Lewis is on. Here we go. Welcome back to Rover Sports at Rover Sports National. We're on with Dr. Steve Lewis. We're on with Lori Wasserman Lewis, and her husband likes to call her Lori Wasserman. And, of course, we got the whole team here with Coach Dace. Colin doing a beautiful job with the lighting and the sound. And I noted when I listened back to our show, the sound really was good last week, Spence.
Yeah, it was. It's fantastic.
So we're going to be we're going to have a little lead-in before we do our fearless pick. So what I'm going to say is it's time for our fearless picks.
It's time now for the Rover Sports NFL pick segment.
No analyst like this team to win the Super Bowl.
Have some running room inside the 30, inside the 20, then into the end zone. Falcons win in overtime.
Better.
Ready?
And there it is. I love the lead-in. And with that kind of a beautiful lead-in, one that is fitting for the royal family, I think it's time for Josh Dace to start leading us in. And Dr. Lewis is there, and we are going to go straight. So firstly, I'll lead off myself by saying I felt so good. I just sometimes you go to your gut feel. I had such a great gut feel, and I had some fearless picks. And last week, it was one time I'm glad that I don't bet money on gambling because I'd be living inside a cardboard box because I went 0-6. Tell us how everybody else did, Josh.
All right, so Doc, you did go 0-6. You took the collar.
Cardboard box.
You're 5-13 overall.
Lucky 13. Yes, that's me, baby boy.
I'll call you Cardboard Bruce.
Call me Cardboard Bruce, baby, because I'm living right there on Diamond Street. I'm lifting ribs at the Diamond Street Axle because I got new money.
So Dr. Lewis went 3-3, is 9-9 overall. Spencer went 3-3 and is 10-8 overall. I went 1-5 and I'm 8-10 overall. And Colin continues to repeat himself. He went 1-5 and is now 3-15 overall.
Colin, I think, is the most knowledgeable guy. So if a guy like Colin could go 1-5, I got room at the basement. And so who's now winning? Is Dr. Lewis winning?
Spencer's up a game right now on Dr. Lewis.
Okay, so we got neck and neck. The horses are, this is the Kentucky Derby. They're in the last leg going for the wire. And
we're in the opening.
Lenny Keltz. Ensenada, Mexico. Isn't that pretty cool?
Yeah.
That there is a guy, Lenny Keltz, originally from Philly, I believe Northeast Philly. I believe he went to one of the Catholic schools. And Lenny, I don't know what time it is in Mexico. It's probably 3 a.m. He's probably drinking like tequila. He's probably eating a worm out of the bottle of tequila. But Lenny is one of our guys, and he's on Rover Sports. And with that kind of a lead and with that grandiose introduction, let's go to game one.
All right, so game one is a Amazon special. It's the
Amazon special.
Miami 3-0 Miami Dolphins, who you guys are at the game, which if you saw anyone who's watched that game saw Buffalo outplay them in every aspect of it except win the game.
The final score.
Yeah, except the final score. I mean, they like had like how many more offensive plays?
It was like 90 plays.
And Buffalo
like
did
plays.
Not engage in a butt punt.
Yes.
The butt punt was one of the funniest things in the replay on meme. The fact that the Miami punter punted it into the butt of the guy with such force.
You'll never see that.
I don't even know what the velocity is. I think we need Albert Einstein. With such force, the ball was literally blown out of the end zone. If it would have hit him at any different spot, I think the Bills would have recovered and would have won the game yeah. going away. But the butt punt was one of the funniest parts of that game. And also, Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator, great. One of the best meltdowns, better than the fact that somehow Buffalo could not get out of bounds to kick that winning field goal. And Kent Dorsey, tell us about what you saw. Well, give us a play-by-play.
I like that that CBS gives access to the booth, and it's a shame that they cut off Dorsey after 7 seconds because he was crumbling up all these papers. He was throwing the tablets.
He was taking them, the tablets.
It was a tantrum. It was a temper tantrum, like a five-year-old just like kicking and screaming. And that's what I love to see from Ken Dorsey as an offensive coordinator, as an adult in the NFL. I loved it. I love the passion of Dorsey. I mean, clenching up all those tablets, destroying glass, nearly breaking like property. I mean, I loved how Dorsey reacted to that because it is so frustrating. You're in the heat. You're running 90 plays. It's a divisional game, and you can't win it.
That's a huge amount of plays. 90 offensive plays, and it was 95 degrees. God knows what the heat factor there. There was no breeze. Remember, when you're inside that stadium, it's a kind of a modified roof, and what it does is it keeps all the heat on the field. We were very lucky, especially just by luck. We're sitting in the end zone that was shading. After 15 minutes of completely being broiled, we were in shade for the rest of the game, but imagine playing a game under. There are two players on the Bills who were ruled out due to heat exhaustion, and one of them was McKenzie, the guy who ended up making the boneheaded play, maybe due to the fact his BUN creatinine were through the roof, Dr. Lewis.
So go ahead, Josh.
So it was interesting. So it was interesting. I was down in Memphis this weekend and met up with a former head coach at Miami, Frank Haith, and he coached there. And he would go to all the games. And one of the reasons why Miami always wears the white uniforms is because it forces the team to wear the darker color. Uh-huh. And that's why there were so many cramps going on. But
Miami was wearing the light colored uniforms.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get into this.
Let's get into the game itself.
Okay, so Miami's 3-0. Somehow it's 3-0. It was the worst game of the year that they played, and they're still 3-0. And they're taking on the Bengals, who bounced back last week. And, it looked like the old Joe Burrow, 3 touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. So Miami at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's getting 3.5 points. Spencer, why don't you lead us off since you are in the lead?
Dolphins are 3.5. Cincinnati's favored.
I'm sorry, Doc. You're right. They're favored.
Miami is favored?
Yes. Miami's getting points.
That's exactly right. Cincinnati should be favored at home because Cincinnati, it's 3.5. Miami, we just described how their defense was on the field for 90 plays. They're exhausted. They needed every last ounce to beat the Buffalo Bills, okay? This is a quick turnaround. Joe Burrow is angry. Joe Burrow's angry because he's 1-2 right now. The Bengals had a stress-free game against the terrible Jets where they can rest up their players. This is a huge game for the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Miami Dolphins have had three emotional wins. This is a Bengals rout. The Dolphins will not keep this up. Tua's back is very hurt right now, and I really pray that he gets even better for game time. But Tua's a little banged up. This screams Cincinnati, and I'm going to take the Bengals here.
Dr. Lewis,
go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just somehow Spencer like picked up all his wisdom in this season. I don't know what happened. I mean, he's 100% right. The Dolphins played their Super Bowl last week. They played the game of their lives in heat and so forth. Bengals are coming back. Joe Burrow is finding his rhythm. 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions this season. He's starting to find his rhythm. I agree with Spencer. I mean, I think the Bengals are shot. The Dolphins are shot. The Bengals are at home. Dolphins going in the jungle. They're going to lose this game.
And they're wearing the white uniforms, though. So it's going to be interesting. Look at that color. So, Dr. Grossinger.
Yeah, I hate to. I really need to separate from the field in order to win, but losing another game isn't going to help me at all. I totally agree. Cincinnati has a really good home crowd. I've lived there for a year. In 1989, I was at Cincinnati, Louisville area, and I just think it's one of those games where Miami just can't want it as bad. And Bengals are much better. Tua, when he went down, and we saw that play. We thought the reason he was staggering around was because of his concussion. But according to Mike McDaniel and to himself, the reason is because he had a back injury and also leg injury. And the fact that Tua is injured, he's not going in concussion protocol. But looking at Miami, I think they played, that was their Super Bowl last week against the Bills at home. They're going to, I'm sure the weather will be just regular fall weather in Cincinnati. That's not going to favor really anybody. But I think it's time for the Bengals to exert themselves. And I also, unfortunately, can't separate myself from the other Rovers. I'm taking Cincinnati in this game. Colin.
I think Miami's just in too tough of a spot here. I'm going to roll with the Bengals, too.
Well, that makes five of us. Okay, so a Buffalo bounce back game for the Buffalo Bills, and they are at Baltimore. And Baltimore's getting 3.5, Doc. Where are we going, Dr. Lewis?
I'm going first on this.
You're going first on this one.
Oh, so it's Baltimore is oh boy. I'm gonna make it short and sweet. Buffalo's gonna win this game, and
sorry, you said Buffalo, Doc?
I got Buffalo. What'd you say, -3.5?
Yes.
Yeah, Buffalo's gonna rebound nicely from this game. They're angry. It's going to be a really great game at shootout. Josh is going to come up big. Buffalo wins this game and they cover.
Yeah, I would. You know, you got two MVP candidates right now. Lamar Jackson's playing. His contract continues to go higher and higher. He's having a phenomenal start to the season. Josh Allen, I thought, you know, played an incredible game last week. I'm green. I'll go with you and take Buffalo, Spencer. You know, right, huge Lamar Jackson
fan. I'm gonna separate here, take my chance to separate, and it's a very tough game, and you guys are so right about the motivation of Buffalo. But I just think this Ravens offense has just been amazing this year, and I just think that's a lot of points. You get the hook, you get the 3.5, so I'll just take Baltimore. I'll take Baltimore to actually win. It's like an upset this week, so I'll separate.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be joining my colleague next to me. I believe that game took a lot out of people. To play in almost 100-degree weather, a very long game, 90 offensive plays. I like Buffalo. I think they're a great team. I think they probably will come out of the AFC. But in this particular game, it's being played in Baltimore. That is a very hostile place. And that means Buffalo's got to be on the road for two games. Not a comfortable situation. And given the scenario, I think Buffalo's really good. Lamar's playing for, you know, $250 million. And I think he's going to get all the support of his players. It's going to be a good game to watch. I think this is the game of the week. If you want to watch one game,
yeah,
that's the game. But I'm going to take the Ravens in this one.
Colin.
I think Baltimore looked really good the other day. I like them to cover this one, that 0.5 point. Is helping me out there. I like them to lose this game by 3, but get the cover.
Okay. Kansas City travels to Tampa Bay this weekend, or this Sunday. Okay, you're looking at, you know, Patrick Mahomes, a rematch of two years ago, Super Bowl. Tampa Bay's giving up 2.5 points. Dr. Lewis, where are we going?
Wait, I'm first again, though.
All right, then it's Dr. Gross.
I'll take it. So the game is played in
Tampa Bay.
In Tampa Bay, and they're giving Kansas City 2.5 points?
Yes.
Okay. I'm glad I got called on this time.
Wait, I'm looking at
Tampa Bay, and they don't look right. Tom Brady doesn't look right. He doesn't have Mike Evans.
The Chiefs are favored. I just want to clarify.
Yeah, by 2.5.
The Chiefs are 2 or 2.5 favored. Not Bruce, I want to make sure you got
okay,
the right
I get that right. So it means the game is in Tampa, but okay. So, I got that now. But it doesn't really change my view of the game. I believe that Tom Brady doesn't look right. There's personal things going on there. He's been a gentleman, not to talk about it. But when your family's amiss, your wife doesn't show up for a game, that cuts to the core. Even if you're Tom Brady, looking at at the last game, Tampa just doesn't have any wide receivers. They don't have Gronkowski. Their defense doesn't look good. Kansas City is still Kansas City, and I still want to ride that horse because I believe in them, and I believe in Andy Reid and their defense. And Jones, number 95, is, I think, the best defender in the league. So Tampa Bay, you can give them the points. You can do whatever you want. I'm taking Kansas City, and this is for a guy who's 0-6. This is my sports doc lock of the week, Kansas City.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yep.
I
Spencer.
I think that Bruce is just, man, me and Bruce this week, I think he's nailing this because I think Kansas City, they really left one on the bone in Indianapolis. And Patrick Mahomes and Bieniemy are getting in each other's face. They're angry. Do you think that the Chiefs want to go to 2-2? This is the year where everybody's talking about Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. No one's talking about Patrick Mahomes. He has so much motivation to defeat Tom Brady in his last season in the NFL. I love the Chiefs to absolutely rout Tampa Bay. I think that that D is going to be really tired of holding up Tom Brady. Tom Brady looks every bit 45, 46. He cannot move. The Bucs will not move the ball at all. It would be so funny if we can play this clip back if the Bucs win. But I like the Chiefs, and I like them by 14 points.
Spencer, I just want to understand something. So you're hanging with Cardboard Bruce?
Yeah,
you're hanging with Diamond Street Rims, Bruce.
I'm hanging with the Cardboard Man.
Okay.
Go ahead, Steve. What do you think?
Go ahead, Doctor.
All right. One day I'll get to go last, but
I'll go last.
No,
okay.
Come on. I try to understand the Rover Sports channel here. You're telling me that Tom Brady is going to lose two consecutive games at home. I mean, I don't care. He has no wide receivers, no tight end. I don't care if he's throwing to Spencer Grossinger, Bruce Grossinger, Josh Beasley, Steve Lewis, and Colin Newby.
Well, I'm making plays.
Tom Brady's going to win this game. Tampa Bay's going to win this game. Period. End of story. That's my pick.
Colin.
I like the Chiefs to get their revenge in this one.
You're a lone rover. Wow. You're a lone rover, Doc. I got Kansas City as well.
You're riding dirty.
All right. Dallas is at Washington.
Are they at Washington or the game's in Big D?
I have the game in.
Isn't it in Dallas? Cooper Rush returns home.
The game
home.
Is in Dallas. Yeah,
the
Dallas
game is in Dallas. Game. Can I guess the line on this? I think it's 6.5 Cowboys.
Three.
Okay. Dr. Lewis.
We're going to let Dr. go last here.
Yeah.
So let's lead off with Colin. So you're saying it's in Dallas. The Deadskins, I don't want to in any way tip my hand as to who I'm picking in this game. The Deadskins and Carson Waterboy Wentz are only getting 3 points. So saying that, not in any way tipping my hand, that's why I'm not a poker player.
No, not at all.
But having said that, Colin, who are you picking in this game? Yeah.
God, it's tough to pick between two teams I hate. Equally as much, well, not equally for Washington.
Doesn't matter who you like, it matters who's going to win.
I guess I'll go with Washington to cover here.
So Washington might win this game, huh? So you got to pick them. I mean, if it's a 3-point spread, you think Washington's going to like win the game or lose by one or two?
They could win it outright. I mean, Dallas is due for one with Cooper Rush.
Pick them outright. All right. That's a bold pick. I like that pick. That's a bold pick. But Bruce, I'm going to tee you up here. Since you're living in cardboard box, are you putting all your money on this game, everything you have left? I know you gave out your lock, but how do you think Micah Parsons is going to look at Carson Wentz this week?
This is what I would say. If I was at a casino, I'd get thrown out of the casino. I'll tell you why. I had all my chips on the other game as the lock of the week. And now that I see this game, I'm moving all my chips. As much as I don't like either team, and I can say that, I'm moving all my chips for Dallas Cowboys because I just don't see – I can't envision a way that Washington isn't going to get blown out. Dallas saw the tape on Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is leaving the friendly confines of the sewage-ridden FedEx field to go to Big D, the cavernous AT&T Jerry Stadium – Jerry Bowl, and Wentz is going to be there with 100,000 people booing him. And I think that Dallas is going to absolutely kill him. So that's my Grossinger lock of the week.
Spencer.
It's hard to follow that. I mean, I love the line because, and I bet that this line is gonna go up as we go along this week. But luckily, we're picking it early in the week, and I'm impressed by Dallas. They run the football. Cooper Rush has been very suitable. I guess this could be the week that Washington's defense shows up. But last year, I can't get that image out of my head. The Washington Redskins guys like fighting each other. Remember, they're punching each other in the face, and the Cowboys won by like a billion. So I like Dallas again to win big in this game.
I've also penciled in Dallas, Dr. Yep. Lewis.
You know, not to be a contrarian or be against everybody here. But,
we love when you're a contrarian.
You're the Wentz guy on this show.
We love when you're a contrarian. Go ahead.
You're the Wentz guy.
The benefactor of Daniel Jones and his complete, I mean, I don't even know what that was last night. Oh, Washington not only will take those points, they're going to win this game outright. How's that?
All right. So then,
Dr. Torlitis, who's a big Dallas fan, you notice how I picked your team in this game. Go ahead. Next pick.
L.A. Rams at San Francisco. Lines 2. minus the San Francisco minus 2.
Josh, how great was Jimmy last week? Garoppolo.
Oh, he's terrible. I mean, you know, but it's hard. Though that game was so painful to watch. It was like watching.
It was a terrible game to watch.
I luckily did not watch till later, but you actually watched in the first quarter of that game?
Yeah, it was.
Oof.
We had to catch Dr. Ted Torlitis, all pro PT so and Booth Wynn. Big ups to Uncle Teddy.
Why don't you kick us off with this pick on Monday night?
No, this is Sunday.
Sunday night.
Sunday night football.
Yeah. Are you sure? This is Monday night.
Is it Monday night?
I'm correcting
you're right. You're right. It is
I'm
Monday
correcting
night.
You all over the place.
You know why? You're right. Because that's okay. I always picked put the
Kansas
Eagles
City.
Game. I always put the Eagles game last. So, that's right.
So this game is a candlestick.
Yep.
I'm just kidding. They're not playing there anymore.
So,
but the game is in San Fran. And the Niners are getting 2 points in the game, Josh?
Yes, I'm going to take the Rams. I think they're just going to blow them out. I don't think it's a chance. I don't understand why the line's so low.
Yeah, I still like the favorite Niners. I look for a bounce-back week for the Niners. I'll actually take them to win the game and cover.
I believe the Rams are a good team, and they're going to be right there giving the Eagles fits in the NFC Championship. Jimmy Garoppolo is very consistent. We like him personally. You're a huge Niners fan, Spence.
I like Garoppolo.
And I think that colors your pick here more than myself, who I don't really like either team very much. Although, I don't know, I like Jimmy G, but I'm not a huge Kyle Shanahan fan. I want to take the Rams in this particular contest.
Colin.
I'm going to take the Rams out right here.
Dr. Lewis.
Josh, I missed it. Everybody's taking the Rams. Is that it?
Spencer went wide. San Fran.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but the Rams are going to win this game.
Okay. And the final game, the game that's near and dear to our hearts, your 3-0 Eagles takes on Doug Peterson and the Jacksonville Jags. The Eagles giving up 6.5. Spencer, where are we going?
I picked right on the Eagles against Washington, and Steve Lewis is going to love what I'm going to say. But I think that this is like the Jake Elliott game. You know, I think that this is the game where the Eagles get tested, and this is an emotional 3-point field goal win. So the Eagles actually are going to get tested, sleepwalk a little bit. It'll actually be a good second half. Eagles win by a slim margin, and the Jags cover the game.
Colin.
Go Birds, Eagles cover.
Dr. Grossinger.
I believe that this will be an emotional game for one Douglas Peterson. And they're going to play. The Eagles are smelling themselves a little bit, and that's only natural to do so. The Eagles will win the game, but the Jags, with the points, will cover the spread. So I'm taking Jacksonville in this particular contest.
I'll take the Eagles for the first time this year. So, Dr. Lewis, wrap us up.
I love that you're taking the Eagles for the first time. I didn't get a chance to weigh in on a couple of things. The Eagles, I'm sure you covered it, didn't score in three quarters last week. Everyone's going nuts. Eagles are winning the games they have to win. They're winning the games on the schedule. They're not playing down to their competition. I'm very impressed with Nick Sirianni in his play calling and how he got that on the Devontae Smith. No getting 2 feet in, and he got the next playoff really quickly. They're well-disciplined, how he got that last touchdown before the half instead of knowing he wouldn't get that field goal in, unlike Sean McDermott, who just blew the time with the Buffalo game. They're playing real well. That being said, I think Bruce Grossinger is so on point with this game. The Eagles are smelling themselves a little bit. Dougie P is going to be very emotional. I think there's going to be a lot of cheering. I think the Eagles are going to do some sort of video tribute to him in some capacity. Jacksonville covers. They may win the game.
Wow.
Well, I thought this – there's some great games to pick this week. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Judge Joe Stokes for logging in, Keith Pompey, Frank Fitzpatrick. Just a really all-star cast of people watching Rover Sports and listening tonight. I want to thank Colin Newby for producing this show, as always. And so much football and a little baseball. Good night and good sports. Give fun, but you may find the